Welcome to Flash's Train of Thought, with your hosts Flash Jervis and Big Al Baker. This is the local service to London Waterloo calling at Bug Tussle, Bypass Lane, Tungsten, Wookie Hall, Childerton St. Michael's, Wolverton Mountain and West Bipolar. I am your producer and guard, Fiona. Please mind the gap between podcast and the internet.
Gosh, none of this sounds right. This is episode 1, season 3, entitled Formal Hawaiian Attire. Now, we don't have a guest this week, but we do have a co-host. That's Big Al Baker. Between him in his palatial estate somewhere near Detroit and me here in London, we have both sides of the Atlantic anchored down. I don't think there's any need to panic. I won't talk a lot on my own here. Al's got quite a bit to say. But we are slightly off to a rough start. Basically, I had to start over. I didn't have a lot of material left from my last attempt, and to be honest, wasn't that great. But I've already replaced the microphone and working on the setup, playing with some software, learning a few things. In this episode, Al gives fashion tips for the grass skirt set, claims demigodhood, and explains how he would take over the world. He nominates Josh Gad from Book of Mormon for the Quantum Leap reboot, and I'd have to say it's not bad for the first episode. Thank you very much. Let's get on with it.
Attention, our scheduled arrival time in London Waterloo is 8:25 in the a.m. This train is formed of 6 coaches, however, due to the fact that the whole of the train cannot be accommodated at Bognor Regis. Upton Sinclair and Nether Wallop passengers wishing to alight at these stations must do so from the front 3 coaches. Additionally, allow me to bring your attention to the safety information displayed in all coaches. Please keep an eye on your personal items. If you see anything suspicious, please alert a member of staff.
Are you carrying me to the bathroom?
No. Okay. No, I'm sitting at my desk, fourth floor of my building in London, and it is a dreary English day outside. But when isn't it?
Yeah, I was going to say that. That's pretty typical from what I hear, you know.
Yeah, I think we had 4 or 5 sunny days this year. We set some sort of record.
Okay. See, we had several days above 90 this year. But I was in rehab and couldn't go outside, so I had the coolest room on the floor because I kept the air conditioning low, and all the staff would come in and go, oh, we want to stay here.
Well, that's one way. I think they did that in churches back when I hung out in Detroit. They would always turn the AC on and put the big sign outside. Come on in. Cool it.
Yeah, so, and you just thought it was like, God is cool.
Yeah, I love Jesus's style, brother.
Uh-huh. Still looking for the right plastic Jesus to put on my dashboard.
I had a hula girl, and then the wife made me take it down, so I replaced it with a big dragon, and occasionally on tight corners it would fly off the dash and hit people, so I probably made more of a obstacle out of that than a statement as to how cool I was.
Actually, I think the statement was I had a hula girl and my wife made me take it down. You should have painted like her hair colors and her face on it and gone, see, dear, it's you. I love you, baby.
You know, my dad used to have one that he kept in his old Rambler, but it had a surprise under the grass skirt.
Ooh, okay.
I do not know what friends he hung out with when he wasn't home. But I dare not speculate.
I had that situation at a party once, so I understand. No, I was wearing the grass skirt. It was a party with a bunch of Renaissance people. One of the guys would rent a hall. He'd get a band. Everybody would pay, and you got a dance card numbered. And you'd walk around either beforehand, I mean, like a week beforehand, and get people to sign it, or that night you'd get people to sign it on the number. And the band would yell out, like, you know, dance number 17. And you'd see people walk in the middle of the dance floor yelling names because they couldn't remember who the person was they were going to dance with.
Okay.
Very, very good party, but
take some of the awkwardness out of it.
Yeah, you know, and adds a lot of humor. But I had a grass skirt and a tuxedo jacket with tails because I was Hawaiian formal. And my grass skirt was thick enough that after a little while, I went and removed what was under the grass skirt. I'm standing there with a friend of mine, and her friend is sitting down with her husband, and she says, you know, I'm told that I can look and see what's under your skirt. And of course, she opens up the skirt and it's, you know, just what God intended. And she turns beet red and her husband just loses it. I mean, he's laughing so hard at her. And my friend Barb says, you didn't. I said, you know, you can't see through the grass skirt and it's a lot more free.
Yeah, you actually gave me that fashion advice once for one of our blender parties. And you very delicately suggested I wear two grass skirts instead of just one.
Yeah, you know, it works for me. And well, most of the grass skirts I found were like 36 inches.
Yeah, there was I'd like to think there was a tiny bit of overlap in key places.
But what I found was these were thin. What I doubled them up was there's a table skirt that you put on like a conference table, and they're thin. But if you take, you know, one doubled up or two of them, then you get a nice thick grass skirt that's a good length and it looks good. And I wore grass skirts often. At that dance, I told the buddy man, I said, come and wear a grass skirt. He said, why? I said, John, it's like a babe magnet. Women figure if you're bold enough to wear a grass skirt, you got to be interesting.
It is a conversation starter. You got that much right.
And we walked into the dance, and I just left him for a little bit. And I came back about 10 minutes later. I said, well, and he's got a big grin on his face. He said, two pretty women came up to me to talk to me about my grass skirt. He said, this is wonderful.
There's no denying it. I wish I had done it more often. Doyle and I did that Gods and Monsters theme of Capricorn once, and that's where I was out and about in double skirts. But often, well, I can't say often. We did hundreds of those. Several times during blender parties, I would just wear one, maybe like a denim vest or something, you know, whatever was strange is in my closet.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we shouldn't get into what's strange in our closet. This is just a test.
CCTV video is being recorded at all times for your safety and security. First class accommodation is available at the front and rear of the podcast. Quiet zone similarly so. These are denoted by labels affixed to the carriage windows where in effect, and may I ask passengers using the facilities to have regard for their fellow commuters. The next stop is Cumbisset.
I have a series of questions for guest people that we contact and annoy through this process. I'm going to
put
some of them to you and see, I mean, you know, there's no reason why we shouldn't subject ourselves to this. You know, I had started with the idea of having like a podcast review podcast, but it's drifted a lot since then. But I should actually ask if you listen to podcasts at all to start with. Do you listen to podcasts?
I have listened to two, but I'm getting into it now. It's one of those things where I needed to wait till I had the time and the capability and the electronics.
Yes.
So I have all the toys in place now, and now I can do that.
The technology is there now. What kind do you like? Do you have a genre that you look for?
No, because I'm going to go wandering through them willy-nilly now. I didn't mean you were willy-nilly, because we're formal and I would call you William Nilly.
That's no, Mr. Just, Nilly to you.
Oh, sorry. No. Well, you are talking to Captain Stumpy then. What do you think of that?
Oh, right. You outrank me now. I forgot.
Uh-huh. Well, you know, I just became a wilderness guardian. So I got
okay.
That for me.
I've seen those images of you nailed to trees then. I didn't notice the resemblance, but in a certain light, you've got it nailed right down.
There you go. I planned on being a tree hugger, but they just nailed me.
Gosh, we keep drifting into that religious area again. You're a guardian nailed to a tree. No, in effigy. Let's just leave it.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, as long as you get your percentage, you know, if they give you a quarter every time they put a mask of you on a tree, I think that's doable.
But I got to point out, you know, demigod. So I still got that going for me, too.
Demigod is a good gig because there's no expiry date on it.
Right.
It's. I mean, I have to keep my technology skills growing in order to stay current, but once a demigod, always a demigod.
Pretty much it. And I hadn't
used it for a while. The talk show circuit can fail a bit on you. You know, after that first time through, you do all of the big names. People know you on the street. You develop a comfortableness with it. But after that, I mean, you walk in and people go, there's the demigod. They don't just say, weren't you somebody who knew something about computers back when they still had keyboard?
There you go. No, I still have a keyboard. I like it. I'm not good at it, but I like it. It's pretty,
I often add keyboards to things that were built without them. Just make myself more comfortable.
I understand that.
One of my burning questions is, if you were invading Earth, how would you do it? How do you like that? That's a great segue, right? From demigod to taking over the planet.
I believe I would start with a virus that I would have to spread in social areas, and I would choose topless gentlemen's clubs to start worldwide. I really don't go to them now, but that seems like a good way to take over the Earth.
So that allows you to both visit them so that you can disseminate this virus and target a specific section of a society as your vector.
Because obviously I'm looking for sexually active people to spread my virus.
And what does that virus do to you when you've caught it?
I become their lord and master. Not religiously, but they acknowledge me as the lord and master.
Wow. So you quickly would earn an army of strippers and an army of businessmen with pockets full of $1 bills.
Absolutely. And from there, you can take over the world.
And from that's true. From such modest beginnings, world domination is yours.
That's right.
28 days later.
Wow, okay. That I'm going to have to work hard for that. But yeah, I was thinking like a two-year plan because there's a lot of them.
Well, you are so close to Detroit that I imagine it would spread quickly from any major hub like that.
I am in Detroit.
You are in Detroit. Detroit.
I live in Detroit. That is where I'm at. But soon, I will no longer. In about 4 or 5 weeks, I will no longer live in Detroit. I will live about 6 miles away, but it will be, I'm right on the border now. We're moving into the next suburb over.
Close enough to still see the incandescent glow at night, but far enough outside the minimum safe distance should that virus start spreading.
Yeah, because I would be immune. You know, if I create it, I've got the immunity. So, you know, let it go.
Would you have a, like an EpiPen with the antidote? So if you saw someone that you thought, I really don't want them as a minion, you could just release them into the wild.
Well, absolutely. And, you know, I would make a point like I have, you know, here I have a Terry, right? I would make it a point that Terry did not get infected because I would not want her mindlessly worshiping me. That's how, you know, I mean, if that's the woman in your life.
As a result of the virus, that you would always, you would want that, but you wouldn't want it brought on by outside means. I understand.
Actually, I've already got it going, but it's not mindless. I like a woman with a mind. That's, you know, one of the rules for dating me, you know, more than once is because the first time you go, let me find out what she's like, and then you go, I don't think so. And usually I was very good at, you know, it was really rare that I went, maybe. It's like, no. I got to know them better before I asked them out.
If you were to reboot Quantum Leap, who would star in it?
Ooh, let's think. Somebody interesting and fun with a sense of humor.
Who could you Bakula up?
Right. Ooh, nicely done. Trying to think. What's the, he'd be interesting. I'm trying to think of his name. His last name is Gad, and he was in Book of Mormon on Broadway. He's done a variety of things since then. You know, he's shorter than we are, but built a little bit along our line. So it would be fun to have kind of a chunky guy out there doing leaps instead of, you know, Bakula, who's wonderfully handsome. And although they don't know what he looks like, women would just fall for him anyway. Josh Gad, I believe his name is, and I'd go with him.
Interesting. Would you, would there be somebody specific you would want to leap into if you could transfer your mind for a short time into someone else's body?
And I would have control, correct?
Yeah, it would be you in there. Their consciousness is asleep until you leave.
Yes.
Building on that same mind control theme, but in this case, it's a more one-on-one intimate thing.
There are a ton of things there, but the one I would go with right now would be I would jump into Donald Trump and I would laugh and say, ha, I was only kidding. Republicans are a bunch of assholes and I will never work with them. And then I would leap back out.
That would be an interesting thing. I'm not sure it would lose him any votes at this point.
I know, that's the problem. They go, ooh, that's okay. We like you anyway. I know.
Yeah. Maybe he's already got that virus out there. That would be one explanation I'd accept.
I just don't understand it. You know, I'll take a wild card at a Christmas party or at a bar, but to run my country? No. How can you think that?
Yeah. I read somewhere somebody thought they should drug him, knock him out, put him in like a Truman Show scenario where he's woke up and he's president. And see if he runs for the big red button immediately or not.
Well, you know, I'm wondering if he does manage to get in, can I come visit for like 4 years? And
for a minimum of 4 years, possibly.
Yeah, yeah. And bring Terry and, you know, we'll clean the house, we'll cook. I'm pretty limited, but, you know, I can roll around and do something, really. So
I have a feeling you're only the first of that vanguard. I know that being over here overseas, expat-wise, my vote only gets counted when there's like a 4% or less difference in the parties. But might actually happen this time. It would be very much like the Brexit vote here in England, and that the difference is within the survey error. You know, nobody's really sure how this is going to roll. If nothing else, it's been exciting times, but it's also been scary, anxiety-causing times.
It's not exciting. It's scarier than hell. I vote for a president. I don't vote for a party.
I was here in London when Bush got reelected, and people would hear my American accent and stop me in Trafalgar Square saying, how could you do that? And I have a feeling, instead of just shouting at me, if Trump gets in office, people are just going to start beating me up.
First, be glad you're on the fourth floor, because it's harder to throw rocks that far.
This is your guard speaking. You may have noticed our progress into Netherwallop has slowed considerably. This is due to leaves on the line causing a low friction area on the tracks. It has been requested that we stand here until a rail services vehicle arrives to blow away any leaves or debris from the tracks. The next station will be Upper Wishford. Eventually.
Yeah, I could see where it would be fun, and I could also see where it's, this is where I'm going to lie down and die. I have my survival skills are, there's no bars on my phone. I'm dead.
Terry and I are both fans of moose, right? We like moose. When we went to Yellowstone, there was a hope. There was a lot to see. There were some areas that you could hike and try to see them, but we had stuff for every day. I mean, lectures about geothermal stuff and the Great Fire and just, you know, so much stuff to learn that we didn't see moose. So on the way home, we stopped at the Milwaukee Zoo and saw, because there was one moose there.
I thought you were suggesting the moose started a big fire.
No. So a couple of years later, I said, you know, it's time to go on a vacation. He said, okay, what are we going to do? I said, my plan is to go north up into the Upper Peninsula, cross at Sault Ste. Marie and go into Canada. Then we're going to play around and then we're going to camp in a national park that's about 5 hours from Toronto. And I said, and it has moose. So that's where we're going. So now she's reading while we're driving. She's reading the stuff that I had about the park and everything. And she says, the worst month of the year to see moose is August, which is where we're at. I said, but I have a plan. So we're there, and I said, you know,
I've played many a D&D game with you. I have a plan.
As we went to bed, I said, okay, I'm going to get up at about 5:30, and I'm going to go for a drive when there's, like, no traffic. I'm going to see what I can find. And she's, I'm going to sleep in. Okay, so I found, you know, I picked the wrong road. I mean, it was spruce trees real tight on either side of the road, and there was never a pasture or a lake along this thing for, like, you know, 11 miles. Okay, bad choice. Turned around, came back. I'm at the entrance to our campground, and there's a moose in the ditch eating foliage.
Oh.
Right there. And I stopped a ways back, moved up very slow, still left a lot of room, and took some good pictures. And then I said, now you wait here. And I got back in the van, and I went into the campground, and I woke her up and said, there is a moose less than 3 minutes away if you get ready. And flash, she beat me to the van. It's like, I'm hoping we get lucky, and we get down to the road, and cow moose is still there, munching quietly. And then we see the calf come out. And now Terry is in moose heaven because this happened. And she took a bunch of pictures. And after that, she got up with me every morning at 5:30. And we drove out and we saw fox and we saw bear. And I'm trying to think of the list. I mean, we had a really nice list of animals that we saw, including a fisher, right?
Which is part of the museum. I know what those are, yeah.
And at the one of the visitor centers in the park, you could go and they had a board up and you could write what you saw that day, like a moose at so-and-so. And people would go, oh, I was over in that direction, you know, and I went up and put, I saw a fisher. And I mean, it was up for maybe 5 minutes before one of the conservation officers says, is that you guys? Did you post that you saw a fisher? I said, yeah. I said, tell me about it. And I said, okay. I said, I've seen weasels. I've seen mink. I said, this guy was bigger. His fur just gleamed like it was wet, even though it was sun out. And he came out of the swamp on the left side of the road, came halfway across the road, said no, because we were coming, even though we were slowing way down. And he turned around and went back in the swamp. It was what, this long? The fur was gorgeous and shiny. And I described it. I told him the animals I'd seen before, so I knew it wasn't any of those. And he says, wow. He said,
Hold on just a second.
Yeah, go ahead. Got another one here behind the door.
You're welcome. Thanks, Norbert. That was Norbert checking that my fire extinguishers are up to date.
Oh, that's nice. You know,
I haven't had to use them. But apparently they go stale and you have to rotate them or something.
Does he come in daily?
No.
All right. Okay. I would be suspicious.
Remind me again what park you were at where you saw the fish.
Oh, Terry's going to kill me. Can't believe I can't. Algonquin.
Yeah.
But the conservation officer said, wow, he said, I've seen them. He said, but usually the only time I've seen them is winter, and we're overhead in either a plane or a helicopter doing like a moose count. He said, and you'll see one running through the snow after a rabbit. I said, really? He said, yeah, I've managed to see that like 3 times. He said, but I've never seen them in the summer. I got to believe that's what you saw.
So, that's pretty cool.
It was, you know, and it was cool to be verified that quick. You know, yeah.
We had some reported around South Bend, south of the airport, but it was pine martens.
Yeah.
Which are a very similar animal.
A lot smaller, but their face is so cute.
Yeah, yeah. I thought pine martin was a good score as far as wildlife went. Anyway, you know, it's a good
score. Oh, it's huge, yeah.
The ecology of the area is able to support them.
This is your guard speaking. Once again, we apologize for the delay. The trespasser on the tracks has been tasered and removed. We will be leaving the station shortly. Thank you.
I got about 10 minutes left, and then hopefully, if this actually recorded, it won't be a video, but it will be audio.
Because the video would be ugly.
Well, no, it's not that, but mostly I see the reflection on your glasses on the top of your head, so it looks like I'm talking, you know, like a UFO out over the water, and then occasionally there's an eyeball. So you are the overmind, you know. that I'm communicating with the people beyond.
Just pointing out, you did ask me to take over the world.
I know, I started that, and here you are, omnipotent demigod. What is your favorite blender drink? I'll pretend I'm making you one right now.
A banana strawberry rum smoothie.
Banana strawberry rum smoothie. I like that. Very much like a daiquiri, but heavier on the rum.
Yes, yes.
Is that with the blended up ice, or is it just shaker like shaved ice?
Oh, no, I like blended up ice. You know, I mean,
you get a bendy straw and one of those umbrellas with the little paper monkey on it.
And maybe just a small slice of orange to set on the edge of the glass. So,
do you eat that first, or do you save it?
I eat it first.
Absolutely. You're my man. I mean, we had volunteers spend hours prepping all of those little things we'd stick in the blender drinks, and they would be glad to know they just weren't tossed aside. Although occasionally people complained about the rind. I'm like, don't eat the rind. You know, of course it's got rind. You know, I'm not going to sit here and pick it apart for you. I'm working a blender, brother.
We are now approaching our final stop, London Waterloo. Please try not to trample anyone as you make a mad dash for the ticketing area. We know you have a choice in podcast-based rants and appreciate your patronage thus far. Thank you, and please mind the gap between computer and internet.
My favorite place is when I'm driving into Detroit and I pass Schoolcraft Road. Mm-hmm. I always feel like that was a Harry Potter reference before there was a Harry Potter.
It's right here by me.
I've had many a job in that area when I was waiting. That was on 8.5 mile, I believe it was. But going back and forth from South Bend to Detroit meant I had to cross Schoolcraft Road at least once.
An 8.5 mile was out of Detroit proper. You were in a suburb.
I was bourbon it. You got it right.
Because Eminem taught us that 8 mile road is the border.
Yeah, there's a small bit of parkland there that I used to go to, but I had no idea it was a hookup area for single people of the male persuasion.
Oh, cool. And, so did you make friends?
I know. I was there feeding the raccoons and stuff. You know, I was much better off sleeping on somebody's front porch up in Lake Orion, Oregon. No, it just ran out of time. Sorry.
I think that's great. And I used to be with the gay pop. Oh, we ran out of time.
But I got no problem with furries. I like them. You know, if I could spend my day running around a park in London dressed as a zebra or a fox, then you got something sorted out, you know, that the rest of us schmucks don't.
There you go.
I mean, I work for a living. I don't get to go play with squirrels in a park. Even the real ones are guys dressed like.
When I went to San Francisco for 2 days with a girlfriend, it was chilly, and we were coming off the desert, so we both stopped to buy a fleece, and the salesman came right over to me, and he picks out a nice green fleece with San Francisco written on it, and he's holding it up to my shoulders going, oh yeah, that's the one. That color does nice things for you. And you know, and in the meantime, my girlfriend is like over his shoulder behind him, giving me like signals, and you know, she's laughing because it's obvious I'm being hit on. They're ignoring her completely, but I was the prize because I was a bear.
Yeah, the radar is always out there. You just don't always ping, right?
Well, I had no doubts about what I was dealing with. I just thought she was funny though, because he's laughing. Her best friend is gay, so she's like, and I said something later, she said, I was gonna let him hit on you all night, you know, I want to see how far it goes.
Oh, and there's our hook for the second episode, man. We can talk about adventures in San Fran. All right, let me see here. I'm going to stop the recording and it gives me an option to save it in some format.
Okay.
If you are immediately disconnected, I apologize, but I will say my goodbyes now.
Absolutely.
Thank you for playing. We'll try again soon. I'll get maybe a third person in here and we can grill them from both sides of the Atlantic.
Ooh, that sounds like a great barbecue type of thing.
Yeah, you've been done on both sides. Hoo-ha!
Yeah.
Okay, here goes.